Quiet, please.
You're listening to Birdies and Bogeys, hosted by Jordan Bloxham and Weston Mon, bringing you golf's week in review, recapping your favorite tournaments with professional insight from their perspective. Now, quiet, please. Here's your hosts, Jordan and Weston.
Weston, how are you?
What's up? Oh, I'm doing good.
Have you gone through getting the winter withdrawals yet?
Oh, no, because I am golfing in my basement every other night.
Yeah, but that's not the same.
No,
I played on a sim last Friday, and then hit balls a few times this week inside, and been chipping on the thing, which I've got me a new chipping mat that I'll be picking up on Thursday. Thanks to an IG giveaway that I won. That was like, this is another nice thing. I got like three or four different gift certificates to indoor facilities, so I can continue just tour all the different facilities, check out. I think two of them have the same setup, but I think one of them has a different one. So check them out and see which one is the best indoor facility here in the local area.
Nice.
But yeah, I've been doing that, but I'm still kind of going through a little bit of the withdrawals of the winter, because it's finally snowed enough that it's sticking around for a little bit.
Yeah, it's gloomy, it's cold, it's not fun, but I am getting my golf fix in somehow, so yeah.
But that's good. Pretty good. It needs to actually stay this way through January from now. Just there, the golf courses need the break. So I won't be selfish, because the golf courses need to be better come the spring. But there was some golf. There was actually the Australian Open too, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. That a big name, Aussie, didn't quite get the job done on the final day. So we'll go into that. But let's talk about the 20 man, and it was 20. We talked about it last week. I thought it was 30 for some reason, but the 20 man official golf world ranking point getting.
No cut.
Here, no cut. Limited field.
Friends Hero only.
Hero World. And is it the Hero World Invitational? What do they call it? Oh, Challenge. Hero World Challenge. But
yeah,
they got points. They got.
That's good for them, getting points. You got to earn those.
You got to earn those, yeah. Mike said, beating 19 other guys. Well, really, it was like 16 other guys, because there was a couple down at the bottom that maybe shouldn't have been there.
Yeah, it was.
Maybe that's just.
Well, let me just call them out, because we'll get to the good stuff later. But as great as a golfer as Tommy Fleetwood is, he'll be 100 times better the golfer that I ever will be. But this particular tournament does showcase, like, if these are some of the best on the PGA Tour, which they are, and this is how he stacks up with them, this is not fair for him at all. He's 20 strokes behind.
I will say this, because we've kind of taken a few shots, and you posted his iron strikes, and people are like,
yeah,
we're gaga over it, right?
Yeah.
And we both said, and you posted it, and you're like, what was that? I can't remember. It was like, what do you think of this strike pattern or something? And we've kind of came both to the same conclusion. We're like, well, that's a very toe-ish strike.
Oh yeah. Like
It's
you
a
draw a center line right down that iron face and you have a circle that's considered the strike area, and a considerable amount of that circle is on one side of that center line. I'm not talking like, oh, it's kind of off. Like it is almost the whole circle.
Oh yes, yeah, it's the whole thing. And we I what was and then they showed something and we were talking about it. Where they're like, was that the PGA Tour that showed like him swinging it in the rain, or it was TaylorMade? I can't remember. Oh, it was TaylorMade. The Fleetwood flushing it in the rain. And it's like, still looks like a toe strike to me. But like I said,
He
great
hits it on the
player
toe every time.
every time. Like it's consistent, but it's a toe strike. But it may be that we kind of talked about this a little bit with who was it that was working with Foley, and Foley tried to change him.
Oh, that was
God, why am I? He was the master champion.
yeah, Willett, Danny Willett.
Willett, Danny Willett. They were
Yep.
like, yeah, because he kept on. He was a little bit. What was
He
he?
was toey.
Heel? He was
Right, he was
toey.
toey.
That's right.
Yep.
And they tried to change him and get it to where he's better, and it didn't work out. So maybe that's. I'm giving to give him the benefit of
You
the
know,
doubt.
I honestly had a couple people reach out and they were like the really experienced ones. And my conclusion aligned with theirs. And it simply was, it's a bad fit. And it's really interesting to say that, right? Like,
Right.
but this is coming from myself, who I've been a certified club fitter for over 2 decades. I have taught golf for over a decade. I've been around a lot of golfers. And just straight up, when you look at custom fitting with even just highly skilled amateurs, when you get more toe strikes, you can lengthen a club and bring that strike to center. Or if it's too long, you could see more heel strikes. It's a very
Right.
common thing that happens with that. And this is something that most people don't realize.
It could, I mean, it could be a lie angle thing too, because a lie
Could be.
angle will push it that way too. Could be
But
something as simple as that, but.
well, what people completely don't look at is they just assume the club's fit for him because he's Tommy Fleetwood. Now, I think the club actually fits him if he grips normally, but he grips an inch up on every golf club
Yeah.
without fail. So when you grip up that much, you should be fitting him for the choke up, not just the regular fit. And I could tell you that if they just gave him like another quarter inch to where he'd back off a little bit, you'd probably see that strike zone come right back in the center. I know it's bold, but that's just what I've seen. So.
Yes, like I said, and it. Or it could be he just prefers that strike. Like I said,
Yeah.
there's a lot of explanations for it, but there's a good chance, like I said, that it's not fit. But you would think at some point that he would go, well, I'm making this, I'm hitting this on the toe consistently all the time. Is there something I can do about it? But maybe he's just like, well, I'm consistent, so I'm not going to change anything.
Yeah. I don't like what happened to Willett, that they assumed it was a swing thing when it could
Yeah.
be just an equipment thing. And that right there is, I think, often overlooked.
Well,
Because
yeah, a lot of the times they'll just be like, oh, I'm consistent. I keep striking it consistently. So I'm just going to keep doing the same specs. that I had. So I don't know. I don't know, but the victor. Victor, the victor, yeah. Victor Hovland.
The victor, Victor Hovland.
Victor Hovland wins the hero for the second time in a row. And it's his fifth win. It's not an official tour win. So do we call it? I don't know. Because they were saying something about it in his PGA Tour career. And it's still like they so want this to be a PGA Tour event.
Oh, yeah.
That they'll still, they'll say, yeah, but he won and he's won five times. But two of them are non-sanctioned. They're PGA Tour sanctioned events, but they're not official PGA Tour events. But Victor does not like winning in the United States. Let's just say that. All five are outside of the U.S. Take him to Mexico. He's going to be a Hall of Famer winning outside of the United States.
I can't argue with that.
No. Which is, it still is baffling to me that he has not won a stronger field event that's a full field, right? This the hero is 14 of the top 20 players in the world. So it's a strong field, but it's a 20 person field and a lot of, I guarantee, right? Kevin Kisner was drinking from the time he got on off the boat in Atlantis. So there's probably 10 guys, 12 guys that are like, all right, we're going to take this serious. We're going to take this serious. Because for the most part, right, some of these guys are like, yeah, I've played twice in 2 months, so I need to start shaking some rust off. Some of these guys are like, this is vacation. This is guaranteed money. It's not a real event. It's not a official event.
It's cool that all those players are there. Some of them, like you said, are totally into it. Some of them were like, meh. And so it is a victory, but he really was only playing like the top 10 guys.
Yeah.
Half the field just wasn't even a thought. And so, yeah, this isn't as strong because yes, there are skilled players and some of them can really get hot, but what's unique about a full-fledged event, and this goes against LIV and other things, when you have 125 professional golfers, there could be some guy that hangs around the 75 or 100 mark who could just go lights out. Yeah. Like it wasn't something that was statistically supposed to happen, but everything clicks. And then guess what? Boom. You just win a tournament. And that happens. And you eliminate that possibility when you have such a small field. So when you get the full-fledged victory, like, totally means something more. So
yeah,
you got to have both. It can't just be great golfers and it can't just be weak field. It's got to be great golfers and weak field. And essentially we only get that in the majors. So that's why they really mean something.
Yes. Like I said, and it is, it's like I said, he's just not getting it done, right? Even if he won somewhere like the Waste Management, where it's a full field and you've got a few more of the top players in it, right? That's a much stronger field than him winning at Mayakoba.
Oh, yeah.
It's a much stronger field than him winning in Puerto Rico.
Oh, yeah.
And then,
or didn't he win? Even the Hero Challenge.
Yeah, the Hero Challenge. And then where was his? No, he's got two at Puerto Rico, doesn't he? Or two? No, two at Mayakoba. Two at Mayakoba, one at Puerto Rico. So, I don't know. It's hard to say. He's just way too good for him to not have had to have won. When he's had the success that he's had in some of these tournaments and he's played as good as he has, it's really a baffling one for me. But there was other golf played. And we'll, I mean, there's other stuff we'll talk about that relates to the hero and stuff that went on prior to the actual golf that we'll talk about. But there was other tournaments being played. The DP World Tour, the Australian Open, which the Australian Open, I mean, like I said, it still doesn't pull a great field. And Cam Smith didn't make the cut, which doesn't help their thing after winning at the Australian PGA. But there was another top Aussie that was up there, was leading by one after three rounds, Mr. Adam Scott.
Yeah.
And he was leading by one going into the final round, ended up losing by five. To Adrian Meronk.
Meronk, yeah. Meronk. Really good golfer. Yeah. Really good.
He is 52nd in the world.
Yeah, top 100 player. Got hot.
Top 100 player. Like I said, good. And it's the funny thing is because then there was the South African Open Championship, which I watched a little bit of this. It was just on this morning. I was doing some work and just had it turned on and they had a replay of it. And Tristan Lawrence, who won it, who was from South Africa. So he wins it by one at 16 under, but shoots 74 in the final round, plus two. Clement Sorde, it's got to be Sorde if he's French. Shoot 73 to one back. But Lawrence, like I was watching this tournament and it's on the back nine and he goes through a stretch that he goes, so a stretch of a par four, par five, or and then three par fours. He goes 5-5-5-6-5. So he goes five over in those five holes to, I think, end up going down by one at one point. And then Clement decides to bogey one. No, goes, they're tied after through 16 and Sorde bogeys. But I was like, man, this guy was, and I think I've seen him do this. He was leading another tournament, DP World Tournament, and kind of did the same thing. But Tristan Lawrence gets the win from South Africa. But it's really funny. He's 64th in the world, so he's a top 100 player, you know, another top 100 player getting win. But it's funny that the DP World Tour does these. The last 2 weeks, they've had two competing events that aren't strong fields, right? Usually when the PGA Tour does it, they have you're dealing with a major or a stronger field at the BGC, and so they'll add a tournament on. But it just seems that it seems really weird that they're cannibalizing their own strength of schedule.
It's
for these two tournaments.
It's logistics. It's what it is. Australia, South Africa, they're essentially on opposite sides of the world.
Yeah, and it would just be, like, it'd be nice to see some more players get down and play Australia, because you're watching the, you know, is it the Victoria Golf Club in Australia? Solid, solid track.
Mm-hmm.
But it just doesn't command the field like it used to, which is unfortunate. But it would have been nice to see Adam Scott win. I think we would have did a what's in the bag, because I think he's back to his I think he put in his Mira irons for this one. So it would have been a fun what's in the bag, but sorry, Adam. You
No,
don't get it.
not today.
But that, and the other thing that's kind of cool with the Australian Open is they actually overlap it the same. They're playing the same week as the, and the women play at the same time. So they play two different courses. So they play and they just flop with the women. But the last two rounds, they actually, when they're coming down, you actually get the final group of the ladies. The ladies' final group goes out right before the lady or the men's final group goes out. So they stagger them for those last few groups. So they're playing at the exact same time in the exact same conditions. And so it's kind of cool. Let's see
Yeah.
them play the same course under the same conditions, obviously. Different tee boxes, but it's kind of a cool deal. In club news, new club news. And
Yeah.
we're going to take it back to the Bahamas. But Colin Morikawa, who they were showing, because they were showing the ranking. Colin Morikawa slid down the rankings this year,
Yeah.
like dropped pretty good.
Yeah, I think I did read an article on some of the things he'd been working on, and this can probably be applicable to all of us, everybody's listening.
Yes.
His caddy noticed he was not going through his shots the same way as he had prior. And what they had assessed was he was losing flexibility in his body, and so it altered his swing, and he went down a TPI and really got serious about his body and what he needed to do to maintain that physical flexibility that he needed to go through the shot the way he normally does and what he kind of anticipated and expected. And I think that's helping him get back to where he was. So as it stands, somehow as you get older, you just lose flexibility.
Yeah, that's it. Really, you do that? Yeah. Yes, that happens. But I was actually, they were talking about it too, that he went and was trying to play, and this is something else that a lot of golfers should do more, right? They're always like, well, I want to hit this shot, but their predominant shot is the complete opposite, right?
Yeah.
But he went away and he was trying to hit a draw instead of his right, instead of his pat. He hit a little cut like on command, right? His go-to shot
Oh,
was a
yeah.
cut, and he tried to change that a little bit. And some of that could have been due to the lack of flexibility. So he was just kind of letting the hands get ahead, or he letting that club face turn over because he wasn't quite getting through the ball. Or whatever it was, but I think it was a con. I mean, from what they said, who knows? It was azing or talking, so it could have been blowing smoke up your butt. But he said, yeah, he's like, yeah, he was playing and he was trying to play. And he's like, he went away from his cut. And so now he's back to his cut. I'm like, yeah, that's probably some of it, though, right? You get some of these guys that get so caught up in what they think the correct ball flight is they start to forget what their ball flight is.
Yeah.
And that's
Well,
something to remember is play your ball flight, right?
you really should. And really, I mean, that has to be said to all of us normal people. Play your ball flight, because there's only a select few, and we're not even talking about, like, there are people in the top 10 world rankings that cannot do this. There are a select few that can work the ball both ways.
But
Like,
most of
they
them
have.
don't. But most of them
No,
don't.
most
No,
of them don't.
most of them, well, all of them have a stock shot. Some of them work it better than
Yep.
others, but
Yeah.
all of them have a
But.
shot that if you put a gun to their head and you go, you have to hit this close, they're gonna hit
Oh, they're going to hit their stock. And
their stock.
that's what I'm saying. Like, yes, the pros can do those things. they like Rory can hit a fade, but he sure doesn't heck like to, and he's actually not that efficient. It's very hard to find a player that is equally efficient as a draw as he is a fade. Like, in when we're talking, like, not only equally efficient, not like equally bad hitting both, but like so dang good that they could decide to play a fade that tournament and win, and they could decide to play a draw that tournament and win. Like, and that's literally like Tiger Woods. I mean, if I'm going to put a name to it, because nobody else worked the ball the way he did. And sometimes people chase that. Sometimes they're like, well, I want to be as good as Tiger.
I want to work it. And I'm but even if you look to him, right? Well, 80% of his shots when he was playing good were cut.
Oh, yeah.
Unless, like I said, unless he needed to, and he could do it. So,
And so, like, for instance, you know, to win at Augusta, you need to play a cut.
Yeah.
Like, that's a very common statement. You don't have to, but it's very, very helpful and handy. Yeah,
it's very advantageous for sure.
Yeah. And guess what? Tiger's really good at hitting a cut. Yeah. And so, there's a lot of great stuff there. There are holes you have to hit a draw, like on 16. If you want to get close to the pin, you got to throw it into that hill and let that draw come back down. And he does it every single time. So it's like, you know, he's the guy that can do it both ways, but that's just because he's Tiger. And any one of these other guys, like, even as good as they are, they've got a favorite. So
and with that, Colin Morikawa put in new irons for this tournament.
Yeah,
7 MCs, a combo set, and then the P7 CMs. Oh wait, it's just a raw MC MB. that's all it is, folks. Don't let them like get you all giddy because it's stamped CM.
Yeah, the story hasn't come out yet. We don't know where the design stuff, and I'm hopefully that will come out soon. Yeah. But maybe he was a big play or part in how the engineers shaped and designed this particular blade, or maybe he wasn't, and maybe they just wanted to put his initials on it. But nonetheless, they did make irons specifically for him, and they look really good.
Yeah, and it's like I said, it's the MB, just a raw version of it, and that could be the only change, but it's a change that's significant for feel and a little bit of look, right? Because for the most part, the, you know, TaylorMade irons do have a shiny finish, and so that is definitely a different look to it. So maybe that's all they changed, and maybe he had some in there, but his personal irons, but everything else looked very, very very much the same as the P7 MBs, which they just released their series. We'll talk about that a little bit later, and we'll let you go into more depth. I haven't looked into it too much. I think they just barely kind of announced the release of them this week. So, but yeah, going back to more Bahamas, and this is just talk. Now it's just Bahamas talk. Tiger talks. Mm-hmm. Tiger had a press conference and the world went gaga over it because of a couple of things that he said, right? He said, Greg Norman needs to go. The world golf ranking is flawed, but he's like, it'll always be flawed. They changed it. And it's like, he like, yeah, it sucks, but it's always sucked. I don't know. I mean, that was kind of his, they've changed it. They changed it and they'll change it again.
Yeah.
But it's there. And then that he'll never take a cart. His chance, his stance has not changed, which, I mean, I kind of agree with him. Walking is part of the tournament, right? It's part of what the PGA Tour is.
It is. There's so much to say about it, but given the track record, like, obviously the tour would bend over backwards for Tiger. That's without question. But it does look really bad with like the circus they put Casey Martin through. And he was like legit crippled.
And I think, and he said, and he even said, he mentioned Casey in his thing. He's like, I still think it's part of his game. He's like, I played with him, and he's like, you know, that guy has a legitimate thing. He's like, but it's part of the requirements of playing it, right? It's, and where I look at it here, and I'm gonna, and people can fight me on this, is, but like, okay, I'm a really good shooter, really good dribbler. I have all the characteristics that would make me a good basketball player, except for I'm a foot short. So I want a basketball hoop that's a foot shorter. That only
That
I
doesn't
can
happen.
use. Yeah, it doesn't happen, right? There's some limitations, and that sucks. It costs Casey Martin his, him playing in a career, but you know what? That's part of it. That's part of just like life, right? It's that physical limitation, right? That he had no control over. I get it. Cost him the chance to play on the tour. I get it.
Yeah, it you could say that for so many other things. Like I'm not built like Usain Bolt. I'm not going to be able to run a sub 1000 meter. I'm not going to be able to play on the NBA. I can't jump. There are so many things that like go
It's
against me. It's just,
that
but
you
it
don't
is.
have, you know, that you don't have control over, and it's like I said, it sucks for him. But I'm, you know, there's some things that I'd agree with Tiger with what he said in his press conference. One of them that I don't was that Greg Norman needs to go. And
I don't
until
agree
they
with
say the
that.
same thing, like, hey, the leadership on both sides is sucked. If they wanted to say that, but they can't, right? They can't say the
Yeah,
leadership's,
they have to pick a side.
but even there, like, they didn't even have to be that drastic. He could, all he would have to say is there's been mistakes on both sides with this, and hopefully we can get over it and get a stay in these lawsuits, because he's correct. You can't negotiate when there's active lawsuits out there.
Yeah, but well, that the whole point, an active lawsuit is basically an invitation to negotiate,
Negotiate. Yeah.
because
Like, hey,
most
you can
lawsuits
come to this.
are settled
Yeah.
outside
Yeah,
of
maybe
court.
some kind of mediation, or,
Yeah,
you
that's
know.
what a whole thing is we have an issue, let's talk about it. It's a true invitation, because honestly, I don't think PGA Tour even cares to talk about it.
No,
They want to just
well,
shut the whole thing down.
Monahan has said as such.
Yeah.
Like,
And
in explicit statements, right? And this is what gets me the most, is like, yeah, there's been mistakes on both sides. And yes, I get it that the Liv brought the lawsuit first, and then they can't, then the PGA Tour countersued. But I'm pretty sure that before that happened, that Norman was like, yeah, if they want to talk, we'll talk and see what we can do. And Monahan basically gave him a double bird and said, we're never talking to you guys ever.
It's true. I mean, if you look at any type of action through this whole ridiculous parlay, it's just like the PGA Tour doesn't want the lawsuits to continue. So the only way they will talk with you is if you drop the lawsuit, meaning the lawsuit could expose, very private information that they don't want
Oh,
exposed.
yeah. And like I said, I think it's going to drag out for a while before that actually comes out. But yeah, they just, because they just added to it, or they came in and they added that they're colluding in there with them in the DP World Tour to, I can't remember exact words of it, but
There's a lot of garbage going on, but again, like I said, it's the lawsuits are an invitation to
to
talk,
discuss,
and
yeah.
you need to work that out because those aren't going away. And if you don't want to expose the skeletons in your closet, then you need to really clean that up quick.
Yeah. But I think it's going to be a game of chicken, because it's like,
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's some stuff. Every entity like these two, right? There's going to be some things that they're like, well, we would rather that that didn't come to light on both sides, right? But yeah. I think the PGA Tour has way more to lose, right?
Yeah, because Liv
right now is, Well, and Liv right now is, they're considered the bad guy no matter what from the drop, right? They were evil, the evil Liv, right? But I don't think the PGA Tour wants some stuff to come out that may come out that is going to make them look really, really bad. So,
yeah. And that's just the reality of it. Like, figure it out. And I think the thing that upset me the most was a comment between, you know, Rory and Tiger both said, you know, take Greg Norman out and then we'll talk.
And then we'll see it. It can't happen, like, if Greg's still there. I'm like, why?
I was like, who cares if Greg's there? The whole reason you guys were opposed to Liv was because it had nothing to do with Greg. It had everything to do with where the money was coming from. But now you're saying Greg out, Saudi money in. What happened to your moral standards, that platform you were standing on? It's anyway, like
the reason that they were pissed is because they're like, wait a second, we had this whole thing that we're launching, and now you took away our options.
I had a monopoly, and now you're giving a competing product. How dare you?
Me and Rory had access to all the good players, and now we don't have access to all the good players, the best players.
Yeah,
for a thing. But like I said, and I've said this for a long time, and I said it again yesterday when I was talking with a buddy. I was like, I still think that end of the 2023 PGA Tour season, Jay Monahan graciously steps down as commissioner of the PGA Tour. And then some way, somehow, the new commissioner is willing to go in, is willing to have conversations about how they can coexist or what needs to be done.
Yeah.
But I just don't think that they can do it right now, because then that would look really bad for them. So I think they're going to let it ride out. There's going to be zero movement in these lawsuits. Nothing's going to come out between now and then. It's a lot of posturing until then, right? They still have to do all their due diligence, whatever, put together a case. And then somehow miraculously, these lawsuits are going to go away. They're going to come together. They're going to come to some agreement. And then that'll be it. I don't know. But I still think, if anything, that's my prediction, is Jay Monahan resigns, steps down, and I did all that I could for the PGA Tour to this point.
I don't even know the guy, and I hope he leaves.
Yeah, for sure. But one guy that's made kind of a lot of sense, which I really, like said, whiny, and like said, not my favorite. I sent a message to you earlier about a statement that he made before the hero about Liv Golf, and how none of these changes would have come about if it wasn't for Liv. I was like, man, as much as I really don't like Rom, he's making a lot of sense right now. Like,
yeah. He really is. He's very logical about it. And it's the same approach that we have had from the beginning. Like, if you're not motivated by some type of gain that you're driven by on your end, and you look at it the way Rom is, then guess what? You have some pretty logical discussions around what's going on. And
He's looking at us. He's like, this is a win-win for me, right? Because there was talks. We thought he may be the one to skedaddle, but sounds like he's committed to play in the – what is it? I don't even know. It's the dumbest name. The Tomorrowland. Yeah, Tomorrowland. It's Disney all over. Oh, but yeah, the Tomorrow Golf League, the Fantasy Virtual Golf League. Sounds like he's committed to be a part of that. So sounds like he might not be leaving, but who knows? I was still really hoping for a live announcement during the Hero Challenge.
Yeah, just
throw some smoke, but. Like I said, he's been, I will say this, he, for as much as, and yes, Rory and Tiger both get asked these questions, they wholeheartedly could say, hey, I'm here to talk about the Hero World Challenge. I'm not going to talk about this right now. If you want, we can talk about this at a later date. But they're, anytime they get, they're chirping about this. One thing that Greg has never done is he has never stepped on a prominent event's toes.
No.
To announce anything, to play a tournament. I was hoping he would change that, but he didn't. So it'll be, as they said, I still think it'll be an interesting end of the year. Still have 3 more weeks-ish. Of the year, I still think there's going to be some big things. They did announce. Did they announce 4 spots that the live was going to be? One of them was Mayakoba. So they announced it, and they're, you know, they're kind of all over the globe. And they announced it last week, and we talked about it a little bit. But yeah, it's there, but. I still think there's going to be some movement in the rest of the year, along with more tournament announcements, along with what they already have. So that gets them to 12, right? They should have 2 more events to announce, I think is what it'll be. So
that'd be cool. Yeah, I'm excited.
But yeah, that, and one thing that I saw and was going to send it to you, but then you sent it to me later on. Making putts later in the day is harder.
What? That seems so logical.
I know. But now they've got stats to go with it. I'm thinking, what was it, 6.5? Let's, here, I've got it pulled up bigger. I think I was trying to find a way to get a better, bigger picture of it so I could understand a little bit more. But 8 to 8.5 foot putts, you go from before 8 o'clock a.m. And was this just on the PGA Tour? I think this was just on the PGA Tour is where they got these stats.
Yeah.
But before 8 a.m., 8 to 8.5 footers, you were 50.6% make percentage. And after 5 o'clock, you're 47.4. So basically a 3% change.
Yeah. Which
doesn't seem like a lot, but you go into that. The funny thing is you go into some of these, right? 6 to 6.5 foot, you get a 5% change. You get almost a 7 to 7.5 feet, you get almost a 6% change. So there's some of those that are like a significant change from one to the other, but it was basically between 3 and 6%, 3 and 6, almost 7% on those.
Yeah.
Significant.
Over the year.
Yeah.
Like that really means something. I'd say in a singular tournament, you could kind of argue that doesn't really have much of an impact. It might have a few. But we're talking 3%, right? And but over a year, then that really starts to have an impact. is there anything to go to, you know, you could do about it? Well, no, that's just how stroke play is. Better players play near the end, and maybe that's just the conditions of how to get the field to be more competitive. Not only do the guys at the end have to play great golf, but they have to play even greater golf to keep up with the deteriorating course conditions on the greens.
And that, man, that, right, that puts it into perspective. And we've talked about this. You go out early, you get a little bit better conditions. The greens might be a little bit softer.
Yeah.
Right. And you're making, you know, more putts all of a sudden, right? Those things start to add up. That's why you get some really good early rounds a lot of the times. It's because all the conditions are just right for that to go off. And then, and one of the reasons it's harder to win, right? It gets harder to make putts at the end.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, is this because of players? And like, I thought it really was that. Like, I thought, well, is everybody starts on one, but not everybody starts on one. A lot of people start on 10 and they're playing the course on, you know, that section of the tournament beforehand. And that's getting a ton of play as well. So it's not, both sides are evenly getting distributed. So it's, it really is just, if you're later in the day, you just get it worse.
And this is all through all of them. In the final round, though, most of them, unless they get a whole bunch of ties, they usually will, or they're running short on time, they'll all go off one tee. So you get continuous off of the first tee. Yeah. But I mean, this has taken this whole, you know, this has taken, I think it's the whole year into context. So
yeah. So there's no really way to fix it, unless everything was shotgunned, but we don't want to see that. Yeah. Everybody hates that.
Shotgun suck.
Yeah. Like, it's totally a bummer.
It would be interesting to see that, right? Their make percentages, do they stay? I mean, does it still get, but then it's with the same, it's the same throughout, right? So is that the reason you're always getting that coming from the last group for the most part? Because then the conditions stay the same and you're playing the same weather conditions. Mm-hmm. You're not getting better greens. You're not getting, right, a lot of this stuff.
Yeah. The only statistical advantage you'd have in an absolute perfect scenario of a shotgun start is that, depending on where you finish, that particular green will be the most beat up for you.
Yes.
And that, maybe that green is the hardest one on the course for you. And that could be a statistical disadvantage or advantage depending on where you get set up, but it'll never happen. And it's not because we're looking out for the players and we want to create an even playing field. When you have a broadcast that lasts longer than 4 hours, because that's how really long an actual shotgun event would be. You could get every golfer you needed for 4 hours. But if you have a 6 hour telecast, you can sell more commercial time. Yeah. If you have a 7 hour telecast, more commercial time.
Yeah.
If you're going to split the telecast.
Yeah. Then, between two things, right?
You're going, then you have more sales, more contracts.
Yeah. Golf Channel and then ABC, Golf Channel and then NBC.
ESPN. And so you get all that money involved, and then you realize this will never change because they're trying to sell as much of that product as possible. Yeah. And any way they can extend it longer, it's even better.
Plus now, I mean, it may be even worse now, right? They got to cover hundreds of millions of dollars that they just poured into it. But I don't know. We will see. But as we mentioned earlier, TaylorMade released the new P series, P770, P7MB, and P7MC.
Yeah, it's pretty funny when you hear about like reactions around the irons, right? Wow, these look really similar to last year's. And some people might not even know that they updated it because they're not just like in tune with the aesthetics of last year's design.
Right.
And so they just might be like, oh, they look the same. And you could easily get by saying that, right? But then at the same time, you've got people that are like, man, these are really good. I hope they don't change anything. And then when they change it, like, they didn't change enough. So it's just kind of this limbo line that you've got to play. You can design an iron to be identical in performance, but look different. They have sophisticated technology, computers to actually do that. They can engineer and know exactly how it's going to model before it even gets made. And so my thought is, by the way, guys, it was so good. We really didn't need to improve on anything. We just changed a few aesthetics
The
and
static
address.
pieces,
But you can rebrand it, rebadge it. You could put a logo in a different spot. You could really make it look different. Whereas in this scenario, they did very little to make it look different. So
They didn't do much, right? They probably did a few little tweaks to maybe CG, MOI type stuff where they just weighting just slightly different, but aesthetically they look very, very similar to the previous. So,
Yeah, but they've had a strong their P770s and their MCs have been really strong. So to see that they're very similar, it's not a bad thing.
One thing that has changed quite a bit since his last victory, because we went back and looked at it, we're like, Victor Hovland. We're looking at his what's in the bag, and I was like, wait a second. So he hasn't changed to the 430, which, I mean,
That's interesting.
I think it's a 50-50 split right now on who has changed. They are actually saying that, oh, somebody changed. And I'm drawing a blank on it. Corey Connor. He was playing the G400 and finally switched to the G430. You know why he switched from the 400? Because the G430 is very, very similar in sound, size,
There you go.
feel. So that's why Corey Connor did, which is the reason that I haven't switched off the 400 is because I didn't like the 410 or the 425 as much. But I'm thinking about switching to the 430 because it has a very similar look, feel, weight to the G400. But yeah, he hasn't he's kept his that his G425 LST actually turned down with the Speeder TR661 TX. And he's one of the few players that actually goes longer to 45 and 3/4 rather than a little shorter, which is why they probably noted on there because most of them don't go longer.
Most don't. It's like him and Phil. It's pretty much it. But no, I mean it's pretty cool. I mean, he likes to smash it. And you do need a every bit of distance you can get. So if I was in that position, I'd probably do the same thing.
Well, he has to because he actually hits it pretty straight. And so he still needs that little bit. I don't think you would consider Hovland a bomber, though, to be honest with you. He's hits it good,
No.
but I don't think he'd be considered a bomber. But some changes that he did, he right here in the next couple of clubs in his bag where he goes to the 3-wood, he went to the Stealth Plus. From the sim.
Yep.
Still the
He's
same
loved TaylorMade fairway
Ventus.
woods for a while, so probably not that big of a transition, but an entirely
No.
different club for sure.
And buddy keeps the Ventus Black 7X in there. And then in the utility, he moved to the Titleist U510 with the Tour ADDI hybrid shaft in it. Over the I think he had the Callaway Apex UW and before with the Ventus
And
shaft in
there's
it.
really only like two companies out there that make a really decent looking utility iron, and I'd probably put Srixon and Titleist in those two categories there.
Yes, that's the You nailed it. But yeah, the ones that looked really good, and like I said, and it is right, and he may have just he may put the UW back in when he needs something that gets a little higher. My guess is he wanted to still have a little bit softer feel to it, but with the 85X, but flight it down, right? He knew that he was going to playing in windier conditions in the Bahamas. So he's like, hey, I need this as an option. And I know he hit it a few times in the wind when I was watching, but then still got his trusty I210s.
I love that he plays the I210s. Like, this is such a cool iron that's tested incredibly well amongst the Ping staff, where it's one of these irons that has a ton of forgiveness designed into it. It's a true cavity back.
Yeah.
But the flight, the CG, where they put this bad boy, like, the tour players love it. They really do. And so I think that's awesome. I love to see these kind of like gems pop up. I imagine Hovland is going to be this guy that plays the I210s for like another 7 years, and Ping's going to be like, please play this new iron. And he's like, no.
he's probably tested the I230, which is their newest one that it's there. And I haven't had a chance to hit it. I've seen it. It looks way, like when they first put out the pictures of it, I was like, oh my gosh, it's so big. But it's not. It's kind of a nice mix between the, aesthetically anyway, between the iBlade and the I210, aesthetically, as far as size goes. But we'll see. But his Ping Glide 4.0s, he kept the same. But he added in the Ping Glide 2.0 5812 TS.
Which for this one, probably is bent weak, I'm gonna guess. I don't know.
It's a 12. It was wet, so he may have just in it that it's the Glide 2.0. He may have just been like, I cannot use that, because he did have the older version. He had the SM8 wedge works in the bag in the T grind in with his last win, and he's like, I can't take that club to the Bahamas. He's like, it's, I would stick it in the ground every single time around the green.
It's touchy.
So that it could, I mean, come on, Hovland, win in the States, will you? So that we can get a look and see what happens. Whether you this was just like, hey, I need this. I've got this wedge available to me right now, and that's what I need, because it rained like 7 inches or what the week before. So it was really wet.
Yeah, you got to play a lot of bounce.
And then his PLD DS prototype, same putter he's been. It was the same putter. Yeah,
it is identical. Yeah, he's been rocking that for a while. It's kind of known as the Hovland model. And it's a good looking putter. If you're into it, aesthetically, I'd change a few things to make it more of a piece of artwork. But it's an effective putter, and he loves it. Yes. So,
what would you change? What would you change? Give us your engineer, design thoughts.
One of the things that I don't like, and it won't even change the way it plays. I don't like that if you look at the putter from the backside and you look at the flange lays perfectly flat, and the bottom of the putter is actually curved. So when you look at it, it's really awkward to see those two intersecting planes, a flat plane and a rounded plane. So that is definitely one thing I would change aesthetically, because it just doesn't look right. You look at it and you're like, huh, that was an interesting design choice. And anytime your brain says that, it's because it really is an interesting design choice. And so I would change that, and it wouldn't change the putter at all in regards to like playability or visually, but there is one advantage to having a curved flange as a visual alignment aid. When you have a flat one, it is a flat reflective surface at one angle.
Right.
So if you happen to get like the sun that bounces off it perfectly right back into you, then the whole section will become like blinding, even if it's matte or whatever. It'd just be highly reflective at that. But if you curve it, a concave texture to it, or curvature of that plane, immediately eliminates that ability, and it would completely wash that away because of the way the light curves on the flange. So
Yeah. There we go.
it's just a design thing. There
Just a
you
design thing. There we go. This man knows a little
go.
thing or two about design.
It's the little things
It's the little
sometimes,
things.
and
This is coming from a guy, me, who was a what I thought was going to be a lifetime mallet user that is now gaming a
a
blade.
blade. Yeah.
Because of some of those things that you talked about, right? And some of it is waiting, some of it's feel. But yeah, there we go. Just remember,
Fun stuff.
a lot of that can go a long way. Little of that can go a long way. Whatever I was
Yeah.
saying. It's getting late.
Is.
But yeah, so supposedly, because he hasn't pulled out yet, and he can take a cart. Tiger will be in action this
Yeah, the
week.
hero or the,
Well,
yeah.
Charlie will be in action. No, Tiger will be there. But I think I said one of the reasons that Tiger's plays in this, for one, he wants to play with his son, which is great.
Yeah.
The other thing I think is he'll have Charlie hit first on some of these holes where that if Charlie just smokes it, there is no chance the Tiger gets to where Charlie can hit it. So he'd be like, all
Well,
right.
as it's been, he's been on record saying that Charlie has actually outdriven him a few times. So he's grown probably considerably since the last father and sons.
Yes.
And now that he's hitting it as far as Tiger, like that's pretty big. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be hard to beat Tiger as a son trying to beat his dad because Tiger's
Yes.
Tiger. But keep in mind, Tiger was shooting even par consistently from like the whites by the time he was like 11. So
Yeah.
he's several years ahead of Charlie in
And
proficiency.
yes, for sure. Like I said, it's
Yeah.
Charlie has a lot to live up to. And like I said, like
Oh,
these
all of it.
and some of these guys need to just like, whoa, pump the brakes,
Oh,
right? Like
seriously.
I, it would be awesome to see him succeed, but it's a big task, man. There's a lot of
Consider what he has to get done.
yep.
Next year, he will have to, for 3 years in a row, win the U.S. Amateur Junior.
Did he
3 years
win
in a
that at
row.
did he win that he won that at 13
Or
or 14?
I guess maybe
Two
15,
years,
16, 17. 15,
maybe.
16, 17. So,
So he's got
and
a
I,
couple years.
so is he 14 now or is he 13?
Think he's 13.
13.
Somewhere in there. But
But I
yeah.
mean, think about that. Where does your game need to be to win the junior US amateur 3 years in a row?
Yeah. Yeah.
And build up to that, right? And then after that, win the US amateur 3 years, like 3 years in a row, which has never been done before.
Yeah, like I said, and it's like, yeah, they're putting in there like, oh my gosh, he's gonna be like, guys. It's that just
Honestly,
doesn't happen twice. I mean,
no.
he could be a 20-year Corvette. He's not gonna have Tiger's career.
No. And I mean, for real, like, think about this. And maybe we might be able to argue about it, but the best father-son success combo that has ever happened was Jay and Bill Haas.
I know. No,
And
there's
they are
not.
not like
I
great
don't
Hall of Famers.
like. Yeah, I don't think that's arguable either. Like, if you look at it where you're like, okay, if you put it where they got to, right? Because Bill, I think Jay Haas probably got to top 10 in the world, and Bill got to top 10 in the world.
And won the FedEx
Like,
Cup,
and
you
what are the
know?
fucks? Yeah.
So it's like Jack Nicklaus' son,
Nope.
J Johnny's sons,
Nope.
Arnold Palmer's kids,
Nope.
Like you go through the list and nobody
And even there, I
is.
mean, even if you want to like be like, okay, like Arnold Palmer's
grandson.
grandson,
Oh.
Saunders, but even he's not like he's not to the level of Haas.
No, not even
So,
close. And
like,
so it's a
it's
very
yeah, tall
like
task.
that's like I want to get struck by lightning twice. And
Yeah.
it's just a...
Like, I'm, yeah, the same way, exactly in the same spot. It's like getting
Yeah.
struck. I mean, yeah, you can get struck by lightning twice, and that's where if he has a significant career in the PGA Tour or as a professional golfer, wherever that may be at that time,
Yeah.
that's like getting struck twice.
Oh.
Him doing anything similar to Tiger, that's like getting struck twice in the same spot.
Oh, an accident. Not that you're standing
Yeah.
trying to, waving your hands in the air during a rainstorm and thunder, but no, it's like random. It's impossible. Like, and
So,
so all the success and wishes and hope for him, obviously. But yeah, expectations statistically should be
oof.
incredibly low for the viewing public.
They should be just be realistic, right?
Yeah.
Realistic. So, I don't know. But we'll see. Like I said, it'll be fun to watch every single golf nut. Just absolutely oogle over this weekend. There
Yeah,
may be
well.
other people playing in this tournament, but I don't know. Even there may be somebody else who wins it, but will we really know?
No, it won't matter.
It won't. No, but it'll be fun to watch. Like I said, he's got all the tools available to him. He's got a great swing. Hits it really good, but tall ask, tall order.
Yeah.
So that's about it. Hopefully there's more stuff, but if not, it's going to be a lot of PNC chat next week,
Heck
where we'll
yeah,
find
that'll
some
be fun.
other tidbits to talk about more equipment stuff. Maybe we'll go into some of that, but since we'll have the time. But I think that's it. Thanks for listening, everyone, and until next time, we are out. Thanks for listening to this episode of Birdies and Bogeys. If you enjoyed what you heard, please subscribe, leave us a rating and review, and until next time, have a great week.